We mentioned almost 12 hours ago that today is the last day of broadcast for CBS News. After today, it goes away and all those CBS stations become other stations. Don't know which just yet. I know in Southern California, Odyssey is taking over a lot of the channels. Maybe that way across the United States as well. I'm not sure. But anyway, in commemoration of the goodbye for CBS News Radio, we have a couple of examples to play for you right now. We first begin with CBS Sunday Morning and their look at CBS News.
I'm standing here just on the steps of St. Martin's in the Field. A searchlight just burst into action off in the distance. One single beam sweeping the sky above me now.
For nearly a century, CBS Radio has been a trusted global voice, keeping track of every twist and turn in the story of our world. But now, as Mo Rocca tells us, the era of CBS Radio is drawing to a close.
Happen and let's go! Go rockin'!
Before YouTube...
How the hell could we not start today with what the hell is happening with this virus outbreak?
And podcasts.
I'm listening.
Before all those breaking news banners, before even the nightly television newscasts.
This is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
Millions of people found out what was happening from CBS News Radio.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's threatening to resume bombing Iran harder than ever if it doesn't agree to reopen a critical...
CBS News. Former President Nixon was subpoenaed today to testify...
The bombs and the shells burst together on the target. There were sheets of flame...
But later this month, after 99 years, CBS Radio is going silent. CBS executives have cited the changes in how people are getting their news, increasingly from social media, and the challenging economic realities.
I'm Steve Kathan. Damage assessments are going on in several states in the Midwest after reports of more than...
Steve Kathan is the current and final anchor of the CBS World News Roundup.
When did you discover that there was something called CBS News Radio?
Boy, I remember listening in the 1960s on my transistor radio, and that's where I heard some of the great CBS News broadcasters.
This is Douglas Edwards, CBS News, New York. Civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was shot at a downtown...
You were hearing something live. It was a live broadcast.
Dr. King reportedly was hit in the face. The extent of his injuries are not known at this moment.
Everyone knows the legacy of CBS. Everybody knows the power and respect that that name engenders.
I'm Allison Keyes. A standoff is going on between the U.S. and Iran over the Strait of Hormuz.
Program host and correspondent Allison Keyes has covered a lot of stories in her more than 25 years in radio, but no other like the one she covered live on September 11th, 2001.
I can hardly breathe. It looks like a nuclear war happens here. You can't see the sky at all. It's all gray smoke.
People needed to know what was going on that day. And they needed to know real time, no filter, no politics. Here's what's happening.
Getting the opportunity to come and work at that place as a entry-level desk assistant was a very starry-eyed dream ability to fulfill, to sit in that room with giants.
Craig Swagler worked at CBS News Radio for 22 years.
How important was radio to the formation of CBS itself?
It was the beginning. It was what started it all.
The Columbia Broadcasting System now presents...
Yes, CBS began as a radio network in 1927. But Swagler, who became the network's top radio executive and now runs Baltimore Public Media, says that it wasn't until the year before World War II that CBS changed how news was reported with a single broadcast.
Tonight the world trembles, torn by conflicting forces. Throughout this day,
it was March 13th, 1938. What was invented that day was the start of broadcast journalism.
Right at this moment, Austria is no longer a nation, but is now officially a part of the German Empire.
Just the day before, Adolf Hitler and his army had marched into Austria, swallowing the country whole in what would be known as the Anschluss, or annexation.
The Nazis have taken over the radio, and they are out to control everything.
A then-unknown 29-year-old Edward R. Murrow happened to be in Europe, sent there by CBS chief William S. Paley to recruit voices for the radio. But when Murrow observed just how dangerous Hitler was, he and the executives back home set about broadcasting what was revolutionary for the time, a live news program with remote reports from five European cities, a technical marvel. Robert Trout anchored from New York.
The Jewish Telegraphic Agency says tonight that at least 150 prominent Jews, bankers, and businessmen have been arrested by Nazi brown shirts acting as auxiliary police.
Murrow himself reported from Austria's capital, the first time his voice was heard by the public.
This is Edward Murrow speaking from Vienna. It's now nearly 2:30 in the morning, and Herr Hitler has not yet arrived. No one seems to know just when he will get here, but most people expect him sometime after 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
That 1938 broadcast electrified audiences, and so the CBS World News Roundup, America's longest-running news program, was born. It brought Americans the war.
This is London. For some reason, Sunday seems to be London's night. We've been bombed tonight.
And its grisly aftermath.
Permit me to tell you what you would have seen and heard had you been with me on Thursday. It will not be pleasant listening.
Here's Murrow describing what he found at the Buchenwald concentration camp after the Germans had fled.
In another part of the camp, they showed me the children. Hundreds of them. Some were only six. One rolled up his sleeve, showed me his number. It was tattooed on his arm. An elderly man standing beside me said, "The children, enemies of the state."
As a kid growing up in Texas, did you listen to CBS News Radio?
Yes, indeed. My father and mother were very interested in what was happening in Germany. He and my mother viewed radio as a kind of magic carpet. They would take you there.
And 10-year-old Dan Rather traveled the world on that magic carpet.
I had rheumatic fever as a child, so I was confined to bed. And yes, I was almost, I would say, riveted to radio because it was my constant companion.
This is the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters.
Rather would become the anchor and managing editor of the CBS Evening News, but he began his career in radio.
Dan, what is the mood and the spirit in Dallas tonight?
Here he is, just after the assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
Dick, the mood in Dallas is still one of very deep shock. There are many people in Dallas who sincerely and literally still have a very difficult time believing what happened here today.
Edward R. Murrow had left CBS just a year before Dan arrived, but the standard he and his colleagues set remained a benchmark throughout the news division.
All of them could write well. You didn't work for Murrow if you couldn't write well. And this put him in conflict sometimes with the people who ran the network. They didn't think that some of these correspondents had voices for radio. When I would read, say, a Charlie Herald or Collingwood script, I would say to myself, Dan, you've got to make yourself a better writer and you better do it in a hurry or you're not going to be around here.
I started out in broadcasting at a country western radio station called WJEF in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it was a CBS radio affiliate.
Before she joined CBS in 1977, Sunday morning's Martha Teichner was learning from CBS News Radio.
I used CBS Radio to teach me how to be a reporter and a broadcaster.
After hours, Martha transcribed what she had heard and then read those scripts over the original recordings.
I would read the transcriptions to Eric Severide or Walter Cronkite or Douglas Edwards, and that taught me how they wrote, and it taught me how they breathed in a sentence, like karaoke almost. I really was learning from the best.
Cuban refugees overcome by joy at reaching the United States.
It is a staggering sight, this ragtag flotilla, boat after boat. People crowded.
Those voices were your earliest broadcasting mentors?
Absolutely. All male. There weren't any women.
The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
And our own Charles Osgood, who died 2 years ago, joined CBS Radio in 1967. On his daily Osgood File, Charlie turned news into poetry. Here he is describing what it meant to be a person of the opposite sex sharing living quarters.
There's nothing that I wouldn't do if you would be my Apostle Q. You live with me and I with you, and you would be my Apostle Q.
So this is the CBS News radio newsroom. This was where we were for 40 plus years.
Dustin Gervais is a CBS radio news manager. Staff here in New York once coordinated reporting from around the globe.
It's Mexico City, Rio de Janeiro,
London, Paris. The whole world in this small space.
And that's what we covered. We covered the whole world. You know, these are all awards.
And won broadcasting's top honors.
This is from 1970. This is an Ohio State Award to CBS News Radio for the incredible year.
How should CBS News Radio be remembered?
CBS Radio should be remembered for becoming a national institution.
And, says Dan Rather, one that did more than deliver the news.
It, for many, many years, was a part, and I would argue, not a small part, of what held the country together.
Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend.
Freed Collins.
Bill Lynch.
I'm Christopher Glenn.
I'm Nick Young.
Good night, and good luck.